Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
I thought index cards weren't allowed on Little Miss Recap.
They are.
No, I don't remember putting that into the handbook for employees.
Too late. I didn't read the employee handbook. I'm a contractor.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where every second counts.
Oh, God.
You like that one, Jen?
Yeah, that's good.
Guys, I'm Amy Archer, and I'm here today with the Brooklyn Witch, my older sib, Jenny.
I'm back.
What up, Jen?
What's going on?
It's been a while since I got to say what up, Jen.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do this anymore, so bear with me.
Jenny's been off in, like, real work land doing stuff.
Amy's doing all the work again.
I'm doing all the work.
But this time I'm not reaping the benefits of it.
That's true. That's very true. Jenny and I had to pop in. So here's the thing. We wanted to record together because she's at my house for 4th of July weekend. And we tried to do Our Father, and there was, I don't know, like a little bit too much religion and too much masturbation in that for me.
I mean, you never expect those things to go hand in hand. Plus, like, there's not a lot that happens. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, this guy's everybody's father. And it, like, once you're past the 15th person, like, it becomes, you know what I mean? Like, there's no surprises left. It's just like, oh, we're on the 35th sibling. Do we know how many are total?
No. We'll 195? I have no idea.
It's insane. I mean, it's an insane story. I just feel like you can't talk for an hour about it.
I agree. And I will just say very quickly that the whole idea of, like, switched at birth or, like, an insemination mix-up is ripped right out of our childhood.
Oh, like, yeah.
That Gen X type situation.
You always were waiting for that to land in your life somewhere.
Like, switched at birth.
Yeah.
So, Jenny and I are here to talk about The Bear Season 2, which we watched together this weekend, mostly. And this episode serves as a refresher for those of you going into season 3 who need to remember what happened in season 2. So we will talk about everything that happened in season 2. So if you have not finished it, do not listen.
Correct. Lots of spoilers.
Fair? Mm-hmm. All right, Jenny. Do you have anything to annoy me with up top?
I just feel like, do we need to update everyone as to, like, where we're at? Or are you keeping people up to date on what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, Gen X, This Is Why has ended. It's limping along. We're keeping it limping along.
We'll do some stuff on there. But
we'll do some stuff here and there. But for the most part, Jenny and I burned ourselves out 3 years in a row doing Little House on the Prairie and Love Boat and After School Specials and the like.
So most new things are going to be on this feed.
Yeah. But I am going to put this on Gen X.
Yeah,
as well.
Sure. Yeah.
I could still do that. So, guys, if you are listening to this on Gen XY and you're like, why the hell is there something about the bear? It's because I've started my own podcast called Little Miss Recap, where I recap streaming shows. And The Bear is one of my favorites. So that's why Jenny is talking to me about The Bear. Did I make that all clear?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I meant, like, what's going on in your life?
Oh, so what's going on in my life? Well, the girls are driving.
The girls are driving, and it is pandemonium here.
One of them is.
I mean, Amy is in. Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell that story?
So my girls took their driving test last week, and one passed and one failed.
Well, we won't name names. Mm-mm. But that has caused a whole thing.
It's been
a whole imbalance in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, I've been here, what, 5 days? 4 days? I'm here a long time.
Six months?
And, like, I witnessed firsthand some of the battles that Amy is in. She's, like, in peak teenager hell. Like, mm-hmm. there's no other way to describe it. And yeah, it just reinforces to me that I would have been a terrible fucking parent. And I'm so glad I'm not a parent.
And it also reinforces why I can drink like 2 bottles of wine on 4th of July.
Well, I mean, but you handle it with such like poise and
patience. Because I'm used to it.
And it's amazing. It. Like, I would be like a psycho if I had mm-hmm. teenagers. Although mm-hmm. I guess maybe you're eased into it, but still. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to make a formal apology to our parents because I know I did this to them.
Oh, guys, come at me if you had that experience where, like, you're parenting your own kids and you're suddenly like, oh my God, I love my mother and father so much.
I was so horrible to them.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Jenny, anything going on in your life that we need to know about?
No. I mean, I was just in Switzerland. That was fun. I think was I on air after that? I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Switzerland's great. Everyone should go visit that. It's mm-hmm. fun. It rained Copenhagen? The entire time. No, that's not in Switzerland.
Just asking. Because you went to Copenhagen.
I was in Zurich, and it rained the whole time except one day.
Zurich, where every soap opera villain hid their money.
Yes.
On our soap operas. Yes. Yeah. James Steinbeck where you had hide like, your a whole money. Thing in Zurich.
Swiss bank accounts is where you hide your money.
I got
that's why
it.
That's I why
it.
I was there hiding money from you.
All right. So let's get into this, Jenny. We're covering The Bear season 2, which dropped summer 2023. Remember, people will be listening to this in the future, hopefully, as a primer before they start season 3, which I think is expected early 2025.
Exciting. Really? Early 2025?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the writer's strike, everything is being pushed back.
That's right. That's right. Okay, I forgot.
So I don't know when we're going to expect it. Overall thoughts on season 2 compared to season 1?
So when I watched season 1, I like the first 75% of it, I was like, this is good. I felt like it really hammered home in the last couple episodes. I'm like, this is really good now. Like, I'm really mm-hmm. invested in these characters now. I don't hate them as much as I did in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I felt like you went from rooting against them to starting to rooting for them. Like, yeah, you made that transition through season 1 mm-hmm. and season 2. I feel like we're invested in them now. And like, I just, you know, like, you don't have to, you're starting off in a place of like wanting to root for them. And I feel like this season really delivers on that. Like, mm-hmm. like watching, and not all of them succeed, but like watching the arc of all of them is very interesting. I think it's way more interesting than season 1.
And I feel like I have to make a formal apology because when I was on Hey Bunky last week, I forgot the name of the actor who plays Carm. Okay. Who is Jeremy Allen White. Like, I should know that. He's the lead of this show.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, what's his name?
Carm. Yep.
From Shameless. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. I agree with you. I think some of the writing in season 2 is the best writing I've seen.
Really, really good. Television. Is it the same writer?
I think it is. I think it is. So I think it's that dude who's like the overlord of everything, Christopher Storer.
Oh, he's the writer?
He's the creator, and I believe he's the writer. Yeah.
I don't think so. Not a season 2, I don't think.
No, I think he wrote a lot of the episodes.
Are you looking that up?
Are we going to have a fight about this?
Is that a fact?
Okay, series writing credits. He's listed in the credits. I mean, he didn't only write it. There's a bunch of other people. There's Karen Adcock. That's an unfortunate name. Sophia Levetsky-Weitz. There's Christopher Storer. There's Catherine Scatina and Alex O'Keefe. So there's like a bunch of people.
So do they have who wrote each episode?
No. I mean, I'm sure I could get into it, but I don't know if I want to bore everybody with that.
No, I was just wondering.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do, guys, is in, you know, 10 minutes, I'm going to give you a brief overview of what happened in every episode. And then Jenny and I will go through and talk about some of the greater, you know, more holistic stuff, like character arcs and things we liked. And, you know, I'm sure Jenny has an annoying index card somewhere. So
what if I want to weigh in on your discussion about the episode?
You can absolutely weigh in.
Okay,
so this is just designed to give everybody like an idea of what happened in each episode. Big major point. So episode one is called The Beef, and this is where we pick up. And the team is going to renovate the beef, and they realize how much it's going to cost. And Richie, we meet Richie when he's in a real low place.
Yes.
And he's in the basement, literally in a low place. He's in the basement, smoking like a chimney. He's got some real Charlie from It's Always Sunny energy going on down there. And he's realizing that he has no purpose. We see that Marcus's mother is dying. We learn that. I'll just give each episode and then we could do thoughts on it. We learn Mikey tried to burn the restaurant down once using the really offensive term Jewish lightning. Nat is brought in as project manager and Tina gets promoted to sous chef. Carm, Sydney, and Nat decide to convince Uncle Jimmy to invest a lot more money into the restaurant. And Carm makes a devil's bargain when he agrees to pay him back within 18 months or he will literally sign over the building to him. He tells him Mikey really did want to franchise the beef. It was all true. And he knows this because they found the hidden money, which remember was like $300,000.
Yes.
And then at the end, they realize their timeline of opening in 8 months will leave them no room for profit. So they decide they'll open in 12 weeks. 12 weeks.
12 weeks. And for anybody who has done a renovation project on an old building, like just triple your timeline from the day you put a crowbar in that wall.
Yes. And not only that, they're like, Richie's got a sheetrock guy and this one's got like, this is going to be, did you know? No, I did not know this. Did you know Fack is actually like a really well-known chef or like an executive chef somewhere?
Like in real life?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait, is that Mario Batali? No.
Is it Jenny's love, Guy Fieri?
No, it's definitely not Guy Fieri.
Episode two is called Pasta, and they're sending Tina and Ibra to culinary school. I thought that was so cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Tina thrives, Ibra not so much. I thought that was interesting.
I thought it was really interesting, like, you know, and he's just unable to take advantage of the opportunity. Like he, for whatever reason, like it's, he just doesn't have enough like belief in himself. He's just insanely uncomfortable. Like he just can't do it. And like you compare that to Tina, who sees clearly mm-hmm. the opportunity and loves it and takes advantage of it. She came a long way from being like a clearly yes. defensive, like in your yes. face person. And yeah. The other juxtaposition there, I think, is Marcus.
Yes.
Like Marcus is able to take advantage of the opportunity mm-hmm. or he actually kind of makes the opportunity. Like he actually kind of forges his path more so.
Yeah, he does.
Than the other two, because he like takes on that, like I'm interested in desserts and I want to like try mm-hmm. all this stuff. Like he went on a whole different path. This is, it's very interesting to look at like the generational differences, the racial differences.
Yeah. Ibra is really just the old guard, you know, and there's a lot of parallels between him and Richie. In the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they yep. just both are settled into this. And we all know people like this in our lives who just can't change.
It's hard for them to make change.
Yep.
It's hard for them to see the benefit of the change.
This is where Fack and Richie start calling Nat mom. Who's telling mom? I'm telling mom. Oh, you're calling mom. It's great. And we see like Natalie has just, first of all, I'm so glad they brought her in.
Yes, they needed to.
I love her.
Desperately.
Love her. And I just love how she plays Fack. Like, oh, sweetheart.
Yeah, totally.
They find Mikey's locker is still intact. They open it to find, I think they found a baseball in it.
Baseball hat.
A baseball hat, yeah. Carmi teaches Sydney the sign form of I'm sorry, which is you rub your hand in a fist around your heart, and it's something he picked up from other chefs that is a way of saying I'm sorry without, God forbid, saying I'm sorry, because we can't,
you know. Well, I think a lot of times too they're shouting across the room, so like, I think it's like a more like calm down kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's actually shorthand for let's talk later.
Yeah,
but they come to use it as kind of like an I'm sorry,
yeah,
kind of situation. Yeah. Back at the restaurant, Fack, Richie, and Marcus find mold is growing on the walls. We discover Nat is pregnant. And then at a local market, Carm bumps into Claire Bear, someone he's had a crush on since childhood. Dun, dun, yeah. Duh.
I don't love the whole love story arc. It's boring.
Oh, Timmy was railing against it. He hates a love story.
It's just, I mean, I don't mind a love story. I just feel like this one's unnecessary and boring. Like, I get what they're trying to drive home.
It serves a greater purpose, yeah. Right? It serves a greater purpose. It serves the purpose of you seeing that Carm will deny himself good things.
Yeah.
And that's not only because of the restaurant, that is because of the childhood drama, which we see in episode 6.
Which we will get to.
Yes. Episode 3, Sunday, Carm is still in recovery. We see him in a recovery group in the beginning, and he says his family ruined his childhood, which I thought was a great line.
Yeah.
Because your family is your childhood.
Yeah, but they can also ruin it.
So Sid decides to visit all the great restaurants in Chicago. We get a little setup here of the story where she and Carm are on different paths because she's supposed to meet him somewhere and he stands her up to go hang out with Claire. And Richie learns his daughter's mother has a new friend. They're calling Uncle Frank. And the restaurant has to knock down a wall. And Sid and Carm have this weird, like, head fight.
They have a head fight.
About whether or not she should have, he should have told her about it. And then we meet Sid's dad, who's like passive aggressive supportive.
Oh my God. Were you triggered? Were you triggered by the backhanded compliments?
Well, it did bring me back to the place of Graham saying, you would be so pretty if you lost weight. You have such a pretty face. If anyone tells you, you have such a pretty face, they're saying you're fat.
Oh my God.
Need to punch them right in the fucking face. Because that's what it means. Like, okay. Oh, you have such a pretty face. But
what if someone just says that?
No. Mm-mm. We, fat people everywhere, you know what I'm talking about. Or the you'd be pretty if, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, no one should ever say that.
Mm-hmm. We get this idea of the Coach K stuff coming in here. I don't really know what this is. It's a sports thing that is beyond me.
Yeah, I guess that was a big thing in Chicago, I'm assuming. Come at us if you know what the fuck Coach K is.
Do you think it's like a Joe Paterno situation?
Oh, God, I hope not.
So episode 4 is called Honeydew. This one is very, this is Marcus centric. He goes to Copenhagen. He's going to learn from Will Poulter, who's the guest star. He was the kid on We Are the Millers, in case you didn't see that great movie. Oh, it's fantastic. That's where, did you ever hear anyone say no regrets? Not one?
Nope.
Not one?
No.
Okay. Nope. He lives on a boat, and we learn that Carm did this exact same shit. And we also see him randomly help some dude who's like impaled himself on a fence.
That was so random.
So random. I don't know what that was.
I mean, it's interesting though. Like, I think, because one thing that I forget who says it to Marcus, maybe it's the dude, it's the Copenhagen dude. Mm-hmm. He says, like, you can do all the time you want in the kitchen. You could perfect your craft. You could spend all these hours, like, learning how to do it. But, like, you have to be inspired by what goes on in the world. Like, you have to be exposed to the outside world. You have to, like, get inspiration there and like experience that to be able to do anything of meaning in your craft, which is like true for any art really. Right.
Yeah.
And I like how this episode takes like Sydney out, takes Marcus out and like they're experiencing things. I think that the thing with the guy crashing into the car is like, it's just an experience. Like, does that make his way into his dessert later? I don't know. Like, is there a wrecked bike and a little chain link fence and like some blood? I don't know.
A bunch of blood all over the plate.
But I think it was just like experiencing humans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. There could be a whole other meaning to that, but I didn't pick it up in case you did.
Jenny's wrong.
Okay, whatever.
Episode 5 is called Pop. Unk is surveying the work with only 6 weeks left open and he's super not happy.
he's super not happy.
It's not going to happen. Nat plays him like a fiddle and gets him to move along some of the bureaucratic processes. Claire and Carm end up driving to drop some mail off and end up at a weird house party.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Now we talked
like
30-year-olds.
Yeah, we did talk about this a lot, actually.
These are mid-30s.
Yeah.
And they're at, Like, okay, so Timmy said he used to live in Portland and they would have house parties like this in Portland. However, he was only in his 20s.
He's in his 20s, yeah.
But second, I could see cities like that having party, but not where they're playing cornhole and drinking out Red Solo cups and getting blasted.
Not where you're playing pong, yeah.
Beer pong? What did I say? Beer cornhole.
Pong. Yeah. Cornhole. Were they playing cornhole?
Probably. Cornhole is beer pong adjacent.
It is?
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
Now it is.
Now it is. In case you didn't know.
We see Tina going to a bar with her culinary school friends and singing karaoke. Okay. Now, the next four or five episodes are the ones that are the real meat of the season, in my opinion. Episodes 1 through 5, we're setting it up.
Yep.
Now we get this random hour-long episode, and it's called Fishes. And it is 256 weeks before opening, so roughly 5 years. And it gives you all the backstory you need to the bear. Like, I recommend rewatching this episode 10 times because it's so good. Don't you think?
We were shook.
We were shook. We were shook. First of all, Timmy and I really almost had to stop it because it's so, like, the auditory processing. Like, there's so much yelling. There's so much talking over each other. There's so much chaos. It's really hard. It takes place at Carm's mother's house, you know, the Berizzotto kids' family home.
This is the first time we see the mother.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis plays Dee Dee.
Amazing. She's amazing.
Amazing performance. And it's, you know, she's cooking Christmas dinner and you just see her spiraling and kind of just going. She's an alcoholic, clearly. But there's something else going on there. She's not just an alcoholic.
Severely depressed.
Yes.
Severe depression.
And it's going down and down and down and down. And by the time the family gathers together to have the meal of the seven fishes or whatever it is.
I have an index card.
Jesus Christ. I thought index cards weren't allowed on Little Miss Recap.
They are.
No, I don't remember putting that into the handbook for employees.
Too late. I didn't read the employee handbook. I'm a contractor.
All right, Jenny. I'm assuming this is on the seven fishes, so go.
Yes. The Feast of the Seven Fishes is part of the Italian-American Christmas Eve celebration, although this is not what it's called in Italy. The abundance of seafood reflects the observance of abstinence from meat until Christmas Day. The tradition comes from southern Italy, where it is known as the Vigil. The celebration commemorates the wait for the midnight birth of Jesus, and it's unclear why Americans use Feast of the Seven Fishes. The first known mention is in the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1983.
Whoa. Say that again.
1983.
Wow.
The meal includes seven or more fishes that are considered tradition. I think they ate this. Like, they had the meal earlier than that, but, like, the name came later.
Okay, okay.
One of the well-known dishes is bacala. It's salted codfish. Mm. Have you ever had that?
I don't like it's fish.
Freaking delicious.
But you had me salted.
It's delicious. They do it, like, in a salt crust. I had it at, like, a friends and family at a restaurant once, ironically.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's delicious. The meal... Okay, so... The traditional components are anchovies, whiting, lobster, sardines, shrimp, mussels, clams, bacala, smelts, eel, squid, or octopus. So it's like some combination of those typically. I also have, I looked up, we used to do this. Do you remember this?
Yes. At the Tunis's.
Our in-laws did it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like not our
in-laws.
Not our in-laws. Well, Uncle Joe's in-laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like there was extended in-law family.
Extended family.
Not our family. And I remember smelts. I remember
his mother still makes smelts.
I remember hating this. And like now I would fucking love this. Mm. So I looked up a couple facts about. I'm going to throw some facts at you. These are, this is free bonus index content.
Bonus index cards. Great. Didn't ask for the first one.
The Feast of the Seven Fishes is not a Roman Catholic feast day, so it's just part of Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, December 24th was the day that you, like, abstained from all food. It was a fasting day.
Mm-hmm.
not just not eating meat. That was a whole thing that came much later.
Okay.
That came in like the 60s.
Yeah. When people were like, we can't do this shit.
We already know that. We don't care about that. We know that already. It's unclear what the seven fishes signify. However, seven is in the Bible all over the place. Seven seven sacraments, seven virtues, et cetera, et cetera. As I said before, in a 1983 advertisement for a restaurant, that's the first time we see Feast of the Seven Fishes used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jen.
That's it. Boring. That's boring. I should have read that ahead of time.
So we'll come back to episode six because I want to dwell on that for a little bit.
You want to dwell on episode six?
Yes. So okay. Let's recap the other three and then we'll come back to that. Episode seven is Forks. This is the Richie redemption arc. We see that Carm has sent him to work in a super fancy restaurant. He sort of gets his groove back at this place, which we'll talk about.
I can't remember what they call it, but they do. Like, it's a week-long thing. A stage. Yeah. So they go and they just, like, train at various restaurants for a week.
We learn that Uncle Frank, quote-unquote, has proposed to Tiffany, cousin's ex-wife.
Yep.
We learned that cousin got the Taylor Swift tickets. And we also see guest star Olivia Colman, the queen.
Yes, the queen.
Would you
is...
like a spot of tea in this Chicago restaurant? No?
The queen. Oh, God. The queen is peeling mushrooms.
The queen is peeling mushrooms. She plays Chef Terry. And she sort of gives the kind of summation at the end of this episode that this assignment wasn't just for Carm to get rid of cousin. It's right. Actually because he believed in him and she knows that because he told her.
Well, and I think she drives home the importance of like doing all the small, like doing the work, like doing the small things,
feeling
doing
the work. Time well spent.
No one's above that. Like that gets you to these higher places.
Correct. And then episode eight is Bolognese. Ibra returns, and he is going to run the takeout window where they're going to do the beef sandwiches in the back, which was a great idea.
Perfect.
And that's perfect for him.
Yep.
That's his home. Carm and Claire are officially banging now. Richie returns to work, and he's wearing suits. He is now suited up Richie.
He's wearing suits. He has confidence in himself now.
Yep. Fack finally figures out why they're failing the fire suppression test. Tina gets a bunch of new hires, including a dude from SNL. Suit Richie apologizes to Nat, and it's really sincere. And Carm and Sydney have a fight when he shows her drawings of the chaos menu, which were good drawings.
Well, he used to be an artist.
Yes. And reveals he has changed something because of Claire. And cousin and Nat do interviews for the front of the house, and he loses it over a napkin. And we'll save him. We're coming back to him.
Love that.
Episode 9, Omelet. Ibra is not safe serve certified. Sid sees a favorite restaurant of hers has closed. Sydney's dad gives more passive-aggressive pep talks. There's a broken fridge. The Chekhov's gun of this entire season. The broken fridge. Carm says he'll take care of it. He'll call the guy. He'll handle it. Marcus makes a cannoli similar to those in episode 6 that Dee Dee used to make. And he names it the Michael. And Carm is touched. And we know what Carm does when he's touched. He just nods his head.
He's touched. But, I mean, he has to also be a little triggered. Because at the end of episode 6, that's where the infamous fork lands. Yeah. Is in the pile of cannolis.
Yes. Yes. Uncle Jimmy gives Carm a pep talk about poor Stevie Bartman, the kid who fucked the Cubs in the playoffs by catching the foul ball.
We remembered that.
We remembered it 100%.
Everyone hated that kid.
Oh, my God. And he wasn't like a kid.
I mean, but everyone hated that person.
Yes. I think he was like a teenager. Like a.
He wasn't like six. Yeah.
No. Marcus tries to ask Sid out and she bungles it. And Richie gives a talk to the front of the house using the word luxuriation, which I wasn't sure was a word, but it is.
It is.
And then episode 10 is the opening. And we see, you know, it's the friends and family.
It's
the
friends
soft
and
opening.
Family. Yep.
And we see a bunch of people there, including Claire. Carm gets stuck in the walk-in because he never called the guy.
Trapped.
And at the very end, He is expressing that he has let his team down and it's all because he's been distracted with this relationship and he can't have any pleasure or anything nice and he doesn't deserve it and he doesn't care. He doesn't want it. And Claire, it turns out, has overheard this entire thing and leaves.
First of all, it's his fault that he can't balance it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he should be able to have those things and balance his life.
But like, Jenny figured out she's like an ER nurse.
Yeah. She's like busy. She has to be working a lot. Yeah. It's not like she has all this free time.
Right.
But like, if he can't balance that, like, that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to find a way to do both things.
But he can also make that decision to be like, this is not the right time in my life for a relationship.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
I want to focus on this new restaurant, which, you know, has a 60% fail rate or whatever.
Well,
you
and
know
he
what
could
I mean?
Just be like, yeah, in the first year. And he could be like, hey, you know, Claire, I'm interested, but like, now is not a good time for me. And like, I'll look you up in a year or so. And like, she could just be like, if I'm around, I'm around. Like,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. He and cousin have a bad fight at the end of this where they're screaming at each other.
Real bad.
Real bad. And then we also see Jamie Lee Curtis. So Nat has invited mom. So mom is still around.
Ugh.
And we see mom and she's hanging around outside and Pete, Natalie's boyfriend or husband.
Doofy husband.
Goes out there and he's talking to her. He's begging her to come in. She says, no, I don't deserve anything nice. Same thing Carm's saying. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve it. You know, if I come in there, I will fuck it up for them. They deserve this. I don't. He slips and tells her about the baby. She had no idea that Natalie was pregnant. And, and he goes back in and strangely does not tell Natalie.
I think, like, I don't know. I thought that that was really well written. Like, I think that Pete sees her for the first time, like the mother, you know what I mean? Like, really sees her and who she is and how much she's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just, I think it's almost better if what's her name? Fuck.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Dee Dee, Natalie.
If Natalie doesn't know she's there, instead of like saying she's there, but she didn't want to come in, like, and then telling him, what does he tell her that he told her about the baby? Like, I would have that conversation with her the next day, not right there.
Oh, okay.
Like, maybe he talks to her about it the next day.
He does say to her, like, I think you need to forgive her for not coming.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because about the mom walking into that place after all the shit that has gone down and all those people that are there. Like, it's all the people from episode 6 that are there.
Yeah. Let's go back to episode 6 because that's the end. So let's go back to episode 6. What stood out to you here? I mean, it was amazing.
I mean, I think the dynamics of the family make sense. Like, Michael kind of was the alpha dog to like Richie. And it's interesting because Richie's a completely different person in episode 6.
Yeah, he's like upstairs with his girlfriend. What's her name?
Tiff.
He's upstairs with Tiff. Tiff is newly pregnant and he's very vulnerable with her and very soft and very much in love with her.
Yeah, and he's very like traumatized by like when all this shit starts going down and Michael and Lee are fighting. Lee is the stepfather. Like Richard is kind of with Natalie and Carm, right? Like, he's like in the traumatized group of people. You know, like, he's not a traumatizer.
I disagree because when we see Richie and Michael telling Carm that they ran into Claire Bear. We ran into Claire Bear. They're picking on him like they're big sis.
He's a little bit of a scorch, but like when the
and it
violence
triggered.
But when the violence starts.
Big scorch.
But when the violence starts, he's not part of that. He's not part of that. Like that's where he draws the line. Like doing a little light scorching, he's fine with. You know, he jumps in on that. But he just kind of like jumps on, piles on to Michael doing it. Like, he doesn't seem like the instigator. He just piles on when Michael's doing it. But Michael takes it a step too far, and he doesn't go with him on that. Like, he's trying to calm Michael down at that dinner.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like, you see the sides of, like, the people escalating it and the side and who's trying to, like, take it down. And it's Lee and Michael. that are escalating.
Lee, played by Bob Odenkirk, is just egging him on. He's screaming escalating. At him, you're a loser, you're never going to amount to anything.
He's an escalator, and the mother's an escalator.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, you know what I mean? Like, they're the three escalators, and everybody else is trying to, like, pull this back. Although, what's her name, too? Sarah Paulson escalates a little bit, too.
She's great.
Like, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and I don't think she really does it on purpose, but she's just, like, calling out some bullshit. There's or, like, this... wrong context.
Well, I think she's trying to side with Natalie.
Yes, she's trying to protect Natalie.
Because, ironically, the whole beginning of the episode is set up with Natalie stop asking mom if she's okay, right?
Right.
But then, ironically, the time that she does ask her if she's okay, you really think she needed to be asked if she was okay.
Yeah, but
she was literally crying.
But it's a trigger, and apparently everybody knew that, and it was a huge trigger.
Yeah, but I think Sarah Paulson's
Natalie's
like,
right,
no,
though.
Right, yeah. Sarah Paulson's like, no, you don't look okay, is like her way of saying, like, Natalie had a right to ask you that.
Yeah, like, you're not okay, obviously.
Because Sarah Paulson is like the audience here. She's the one who sees this is fucked up. And I love that tender moment when she asks Carmi to come to New York with her. She's like, you can't be here. Like, this is not you. You can't be here. Because there's a lot of weird passive-aggressive resentment from the mother to Carmi for leaving, for going to Copenhagen, for not being, you know what I mean? Like, not staying. There's this whole idea of not staying and getting out and escaping. And we see now how Carmi escaped. But
I think Michael feels the same way. But I think Michael feels the same way. Like, he pushed Carmi away.
Yes.
But we're unclear as to why. Like, it sounded like that happened before Carmi made the decision to leave.
Well, in the closet, when they're in that food pantry, Michael is saying, like, you don't want this. I'm saving you from this. Go do something else. Like, you don't want the beef. It's a piece of shit. It's cake. Yeah. And we do see that in season one. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dysfunctional. Michael probably was on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably on drugs at the time. You know what I mean? He was like, don't get involved. Like, it was really bad. Carmi, typical younger Sib, is, you know, the empathetic one, the lightning rod for emotion, the sensitivity.
The weak one.
What?
Nothing.
Did you say weak one, you son of a bitch? that younger Sib role, I mean, you know, you just can't overlook it. Let's talk about Richie real quick. So it's funny because I always called him cousin, but once we saw him have this return to normalcy or this redemption arc, I start calling him Richie.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
I thought the arc of Richie's story was really good. He sees where he belongs. Like, he sees the place, like, Carmi's good at the food. You know what I mean? Like, Natalie's good with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Fac is good with the fixing of things. And, like, you know, he's good with people, but doesn't realize it because there was no place for that before. I mean, there was a little bit. Like, well, you would see him in his element when he was behind the counter, like, talking to the crowds of people.
Right.
Coming
or
in,
you remember when the crowds were gathering outside doing, like, shady business and he'd be out there like, hey, guys, come on, move down the street and blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. So, like, he didn't understand. I don't think he understood how that skill set fit into
translated
into fine dining. Mm-hmm. And, like, he learns that. And I think Carm knew this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he learns that, like, that's a whole skill set. That's a whole really valued skill set in this level of dining. And he gets it. He understands, like, he really, when he watches that woman do it, he's, like, really excited by it. He's like, I understand. This I get. Like, this I understand.
Mm-hmm. The woman you're talking about is the one at the other restaurant who was on Parenthood. Right? She was on Parenthood?
I didn't watch Parenthood. But
I think she was on Parenthood. I can't remember. So what do you think? Where do you think they're going to go in season three? Let's wrap this up. Like, obviously, we end with
I just
want to
talk
Carmi
about one more thing.
As a mess. Go ahead.
I think season two had a de-heroization of Carmi.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like he kind of falls from this elevated place, right? Because going into season two, he's like, he's the guy who knows everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and now he's like almost the failure of the group. You know,
right,
he has fallen from grace.
We see him
and everybody else
literally
has risen.
Jenny, he's literally in a glass case of emotion.
He literally is.
He's locked in a freezer facing his own demons. Yes. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, so I think season three, we'll see his comeback. Like, we'll see him come into his own, I would think. I hope to see more of Richard, like, doing well. I'm worried about Richard after that fight, because I feel like he went right back to that place. Because he started that fight, because he called Carmi Donna.
Yes, he did.
He said, oh.
I thought that was a step forward, because it's like the elephant in the room, somebody's finally naming.
Yes.
But do you know what I mean?
It triggered hard Carmi. And like, he ended up in this ugly fight again. When I watched it again, I was listening carefully to what he said.
He was screaming, and I feel better, I love you.
But I feel better after hearing what he said. I feel like he didn't go to the places he normally goes to in those fights. But like, I think like you see him after. And I mean, everybody's been in this place where you're like, oh God, I went back to this place again. And like, I said to myself, I wouldn't do this. And like, but I think he's regretting it, which is good.
Yes, I do too.
Like being triggered like that and getting into that kind of like screaming match. I thought seeing Sid, like Sid is in the same place. Like she did really well, but like she was not as on top of it as she, you know what I mean? Like her greenness.
She's young though. Yeah.
Well, that's green. It. Like she underestimated how green and inexperienced she was. And she was overconfident in that way. And like, she finally got that check.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Where she's like, I need to give this to people who have more experience in life than I do. Yes. Like this, you know, I'm not ready for this yet. And I think that's going to serve her, right? It's not going to hurt her. It's going to serve her. But she needed to realize that, because she was pushing into these things that she wasn't ready for.
So will we see a love story between her and Marcus in season three? I think that's where they have to go with it.
Yeah, and I don't even understand why she's mad at Marcus. That makes no sense, but whatever.
I don't either. I don't think she is.
Yeah, I think she's just awkward.
She has so walled herself off from any idea of romance or pleasure that forget it.
Yeah, and I think she has to like get some kind of balance in her life in the future.
And I think we're going to see Richie sort of start to take care of his own house now, right? Like, he and Tiffany still love each other. She said, I love you, and he said, I love you.
Yeah.
And so he might fight for her, which I don't think he was doing before. I think
I don't think so.
Being all aggro about it, but not fighting for her in a real way.
Right.
And he might do that.
Well,
now.
And the only, like, the way he needed to fight for her is to clean up his life and get his shit together.
Yes.
Like, he needed to make an example of, like, this is how I am now.
Yes. And I think that you're right. We're going to see the rise of Carmi, or Carmi trying to get it back together. I'm sure we'll have some annoying shit with Claire. He'll be like trying to get back with her. And I would like to see more of the mother.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis is so good.
And we don't. And I love the fact that Natalie, as she's becoming a mother herself, is trying to reconcile this with the mother.
I think because Natalie was so focused on the mother showing up, I think we'll see more of like their relationship. Next season. Yeah.
I hope so. Subscribe to Little Miss Recap and leave us a 5-star review. Jenny, you'll be back recapping hopefully some important shows coming up in the future. I'd like you to do House of Dragon with me.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that'll be fun. You have to commit to it though.
All right. Here we go. See?
All right.
See how it is?
If you're listening on Gen X, This Is Why, stay subscribed. Stuff could be popping up at any time. You never know. And check out Little Miss Recap Backdoor Friends, our Facebook group, where you can slide on in the back door. Open also for anal lovers, you know, whatever.
Slide in the back door. Who do you get in that group?
We do not discriminate.
Wow. You did not run that branding by me. Not even close. Wow. Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.